So my name is Craig Hall, and I want to thank you for having me here and allowing me to share our experiences at the New World Symphony with all of you. The New World Symphony is America's orchestral academy. We are an orchestral academy that functions like a professional orchestra. We're located in Miami Beach. We have a 35-week season. We do 90 performances a year. And our musicians are made up of people who are with us. They're on 3-year fellowships. They have all graduated from college. Many of them have their master's degrees. Some have their PhDs. But it's sort of like a medical residency in that they come to us before they launch their careers. And the whole point of New World Symphony is to basically replicate a professional orchestra environment, which is very different, as many of you know, than coming from conservatory, where maybe you're working on one piece for an entire month and then you get to present it. But to basically keep the pace of a professional orchestra and understand what that process is like. And then on top of that, what we try to do is we try to layer different experiences, because we believe that being a musician in the 21st century is about more than sitting on stage and playing music. But if you're going to be important to your community, you know, you need to learn how to go out into the schools and foster a love of music with the children. You should know maybe how to speak to members of the media, how to speak to trustees, how to present your music, how to be an ambassador for your music, so to be able to stand at the front of the stage and speak about it in ways that are engaging to people, even if they've never had an experience with classical music. And so that's what we do in Miami. And through the course of these 35 weeks and these 90 performances, on top of that, we give professional development sort of expertise and experience to our fellows, and they get the opportunity to present that in the community of Miami Beach. So in that way, Miami Beach is our laboratory. So talking just a moment about technology, as an academy, we were early adopters of using the internet for educational work. So very early on Skype, but also in the USA, there is a network called Internet 2. It is the US version of Red Iris here in Spain, which is basically a network that is exclusively used for scientific and educational research. And working long distance, what we were able to do is to give our fellows access to musicians all around the world that couldn't actually make it to Miami Beach to be their mentors, to be their instructors. And so it opened up a whole new world for our musicians. And we still use that technology today. We're expanding on that technology a bit in using Google Google Hangouts and things like that now to have discussions with our fellows and with professional musicians. And now we're inviting the public to actually take part in those discussions. So what is the meaning of Beethoven 5 and how do you play it? And so to do something like that on Google, where you can have interaction with musicians, but then invite audiences to participate so they get a little bit of a better understanding about that as well, is something that we're doing as part of the fellowship program. So New World Symphony is 27 years old now, but 10 years ago in Miami, we took a look around and we started to understand something. Through our 35-week season, our 90 concerts, we realized that our audience wasn't very big. And not only was our audience not very big, but our reach in our own community in Miami Beach, where we were, it was not very good. You know, people didn't really know about the New World Symphony. And when we looked out at the audience that was there, they weren't really representative of the Miami community. You know, we looked out in the audience and we saw basically the same type of person. It was not representative of the diverse community that is Miami. So we sat down to think about, you know, why this is the case and what was happening. And so what we found, and as somebody previously said, that, you know, 2% of a community may attend classical music. And I think the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts, just released a study that says maybe for America, 9% of people attend live classical music performances. And this really frustrated us because we love classical music and we know what it has to offer. And we believe, as I'm sure all of you do, that there are many more people in our communities that can have a positive experience with classical music if they knew about it, or if they were exposed to it in a way that was engaging, if they'd never been exposed to it before, if we did so in a way that made them interested about it, that they could sort of understand more and become an ambassador and even an advocate for it. And so, you know, here's what was happening. We were on classical radio. The people who listened to classical radio were coming to our concerts. The people who read the newspaper looking for advertisements for concerts were coming to our concerts. And then the music people who were studying music in our community came to our concerts, but basically nobody else. And so we sat down 10 years ago and we tried to rethink, okay, if we wanted to change this, you know, first of all, what room in our program in our 35 weeks do we have for being able to change? So we're not going to change all 35 weeks, right? We're not going to tear down the orchestral model and try to build a new one. But where are those spaces, maybe 5 weekends a year, where we have space to do something a little bit different? And if we're going to do something different, what should we do? So with the support of the John S. and the James L. Knight Foundation, and with the support of the Mellon Foundation, we sat down to think about the audience experience and how we could actually put that into our own experience of presenting classical music. And so we thought about it in two ways. What did we want to accomplish? We want people to understand more about classical music, and we want them to understand more about our musicians, and we want them to engage with that. And so we looked in two primary areas, is what can we do to engage people more? People who may already be coming to the concert hall, but how can we bring them into the experience and let them know something more? And then how can we go into community building? How can we get out beyond the people who are in our concert hall and start to invite other people and other sort of demographics, other people who weren't coming to our concerts into the classical music experience? So one of the ways that we do this, starting 3 years ago, prior to every single concert, we record, it's very low tech, we record an interview with a musician. It lasts 1.5 minutes, and we project that onto one of the sales in our building. So prior to every concert, whether you've been to a New World Symphony concert or not before, what you get is an understanding of a musician talking about when they started playing the instrument, why they started playing an instrument, why they chose the instrument that they did, how they wound up at the New World Symphony, what their goals and aspirations are, and what they love about classical music. So a very personal experience. But now, before the concert starts, you already know something that's very personal about somebody that's on stage, really bringing you in and almost inviting you into sort of the headspace of these musicians. And what we found from people who come back to tell us, almost unsolicited, is that they really, really love this. They love these features. They love learning about the musicians. And for those who come back, they love finding out more about more of the orchestra. So if you do attend 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 times, you really start to get to know the musicians who are in the community. What's also interesting is that they tell us that they, you know, whatever musician we feature, they'll tend to watch that musician more during the performance. So as a result, we started featuring musicians that have a large role in the upcoming program so that they could actually see them doing something that may be even more activity than some of the other musicians. So 3 years ago, we also started wondering, one of the things that is important, if you look at a younger generation, everybody has handhelds. And now everybody has handhelds, whether you're a younger generation or not. But we're very visual. We're becoming an even more visual culture. So to what degree should visuals, as we talked about earlier, play a role in the concert hall? So now only about 2 or 3 times a year, we actually commission a filmmaker, video artist, or an animator to create visuals that accompanies a piece of music that we will present in the concert hall. So sometimes that actually, we ask them to commission something for an existing piece of music, like Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition. So you can imagine, in knowing the story of Pictures at an Exhibition, you can imagine the type of atmosphere that you can create for somebody who doesn't necessarily know the music and give them another way to access what that music is really all about. Or sometimes, as is the case in the picture here, we commission a composer together with a video artist so that they wind up putting together something that is built on the basis of the two living together. So this was Polaris that we commissioned Thomas Addis to write the music and filmmaker Tal Rosner for the visuals. So one of the other things that we decided to do is, you know, a lot of orchestras, I think, have product lines, right? Maybe we don't think about it that way, but we have series, certainly. And the way that we separate those series is, like, we have concerts for kids, right? And we have our traditional Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Maybe we have a jazz series. Maybe we have a pop series. But the New World Symphony is, you know, we don't do jazz or pops because we're training for classical music. So we really focus on classical music, and we decided to break the experience down a different way. And to say, if all we're going to present is classical music, what are the different ways that we can present it that would be of interest to a wide variety of people? So kind of the community building. So one thing that we did, and it's not very new actually, there are many orchestras doing it, but we started a series called Encounters. It's a 1 hour performance. It includes a host on the stage that talks a little bit about the context of the music, when it was written, by whom was it written, what was happening in the composer's life when it was written, and what else was happening in the world to really put that into context. They'll often play musical examples, so the main motif or theme in the music will be played by the orchestra so that people who are coming for the first time kind of know what to listen for. They become a little bit more engaged rather than passive listeners. They become active listeners. When they hear that piece in the music, they know what it means. And it's all tickets are $25. And what we found is that in terms of getting new audiences, I'll get to this in a little bit later, but for any of our traditional concerts, we know that 12% of the audience that comes to us is brand new on any night. They're coming to the New World Symphony for the first time in a traditional concert. For our Encounters concerts, it's 25%. It's more than double the amount of people we get, new people that we're getting for traditional concerts. I should also say, too, that this is followed by a 1 hour reception in the atrium of our concert hall where we have Bacardi as a sponsor. It includes two free drinks. But what is unique about that is that then the musicians come out and they interact with the audience. So the audience has an opportunity to sort of extend the experience that they just had, to ask questions of the musicians about the music, and it becomes a really great overall interactive experience, and for many of them, a first-time experience around classical music. So thinking about our community, right, and wanting to engage all the different parts, one thing that's big on Miami Beach is nightclubs, right? So we have a lot of nightlife and a lot of partying, and we thought this, you know, a lot of them actually live there. It's not just people visiting. So we said, what could we do that would present classical music in a way that might be interesting to these people? And so we came up with Pulse Late Night at the New World Symphony. And what we do is we turn our concert hall basically into a late night lounge. We bring in a DJ. Something that's really interesting is that clubs, nightclubs, electronic music, they have a DJ, right? And a lot of electronic music is actually somewhat similar to classical music in that it follow, you know, you introduce with the main motif and then you build on top of that. You layer throughout the course of a piece, and then it many times comes back down to the original motif. And so what we wanted to do was not to take Beethoven 5 and have a DJ spin over top of that, but to be able to present classical music as it is, unadulterated, alongside of DJ music, and have people sort of understand and see for themselves. So the way that this works is 9 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. All tickets are $25. We actually start off with the DJ. DJ spins for 25 minutes. It then transitions to a performance by our musicians with no DJ of contemporary classical music. They will perform for 20 to 25 minutes. It transitions back to the DJ, back and forth throughout the course of the night. And once in a while, there's an intro and an outro that is not actually a work of music on which our musicians are actually playing with the DJ. And the audience, we know through a lot of audience research, really likes that. We also, in order, you know, it's one thing to hear classical music, but we want these people who we assume are new, if we're actually being successful in drawing a new audience, we want them to learn something about classical music too. So the conductor, prior to the start of a work, he'll speak for a moment, but we also project program notes up onto the sail so that people can have access to understand something about the music. And they also, what we do is we include a little text message to say, if you want this information on your mobile device, text this number, and then it comes to your smartphone. So what we thought we were going to get and what we found were actually two different things. We thought we were going to get the nightclub rave crowd, and what we're actually getting is a much higher culture crowd who is much younger than our own demographic, who is really interested in the music and in a unique experience. So they're actually less interested in the nightclub experience. What they are interested in is this own sort of hybrid event that happens that is a mix of classical music and a late night experience, but it is decidedly not a nightclub, and it is decidedly not a nightclub audience that we're getting. You see, one of the things that happens here too is that we allow people to get very close. Again, it's 9 p.m. to 12 to 1:30 a.m. It's a 4 hour event. This is not a ticketed thing where you get a ticket and it's for this seat and you sit down. We want people to feel like it's a lounge, and we want to give them the freedom to experience classical music the way they want to do that. So if that means coming up and standing directly in front of the orchestra, Then that's the way they get to experience it. If it means taking a seat way back behind where they can sort of sit and watch everything and just take in the music, they can do that as well. You can imagine in this kind of experience too, you see a lot of people with camera phones there. A lot of people, we've talked about this a lot today, but they really love to document their experience. What we like about this experience is that if you are somebody who likes to do that, you're probably not coming to a traditional concert, or you're not coming to a traditional concert and trying to take a picture because you are allowed to have that experience in Pulse. And so what we're actually doing is directing people based on their preferences, what they like to do, to select the type of performance that they want to attend. So you see a lot of people taking pictures, a lot of people here with the yellow circles have drinks so that you can, we actually put a bar in the concert hall, they can choose to get a drink or not. They flow in and out through the course of the night, and it's a really great experience. I should also say, I should have mentioned before, that when we sat down to imagine these experiences, it wasn't just to present them, but it was to present and study them. So we do pretty exhaustive research around the formats I'm talking to you about. We do surveys, we do focus groups, we do interviews, and we research our database to get the information that I'm presenting to you today. And what we found for Pulse is that if you sat and you think about the different things you do when you go to a classical concert, maybe there's three, right? You go there, you have a drink, you talk to somebody that you saw there that maybe you didn't know was coming, and you sit and listen to the music. At Pulse, it provides you, again, with the opportunity to do a lot of things. We find a lot of people have a drink, a lot of people like to share it on social media, a lot of people are taking pictures, a lot of people are dancing during the DJ, so it gives you really the opportunity, again, to experience it the way you want to within one course of one evening. Somebody talked earlier today, a couple of people talked earlier today about sort of the, nobody said the stigma of classical music, but the stigma of a concert hall, and or how comfortable is a concert hall, and or how do you want to experience classical music? It may not be by sitting in a seat inside a concert hall. So one of the ways we decided to address that is we believe that, look, again, there are people who are coming into our concert hall, and there are many people who like that experience, but some people do not. And if we wanted to get out into the community and really be a part of the community, then we had to think about different ways that we could put ourselves out in the community rather than pretending that everybody would come in, because we just weren't going to be successful in that way. And so we take, and what we do, New World Symphony and NWS, wallcast concerts. And what this is basically, as a live concert is happening inside the concert hall, we take and we project it onto the front wall of our building. And there's an outdoor sound system there as well. And what we find is that, pretty dark and you can't see, but thousands of people sit in the park and watch the concert. And again, this is giving access to us and to the audiences for a whole new group of people who wouldn't come inside. So what we find that when we walk out there is people with young children. We talk to them, they would never bring children into the hall because they're worried about what would happen in the course of a two-hour concert. Maybe they won't sit still, maybe they'll be loud. They don't have that same worry or concern out here. We find people who, as was said earlier, they just don't like to sit in a chair. They like to experience classical music outside. They get to do that here. It allows people to bring very elaborate picnics, whether they want to bring food or wine, whatever they want to do. We have people who bring pets. They get to create their own experience around classical music with the wallcast concerts. And then lastly, we used to be located on what was called Lincoln Road. I don't know how many people have been to Miami Beach, but basically it's a large pedestrian road. And we know from working with Starbucks, who is right on the corner, they do a lot of market research in their Miami Beach store. 5 million people used to walk Lincoln Road every year. Now it's slightly larger. I can guarantee you 5 million people were not coming to the New World Symphony. 1 million people weren't coming to the New World Symphony. We got very few people who would come to the New World Symphony, and it was very frustrating because we'd see Lincoln Road and they'd be walking right by, and we have the awning there. We'd say concert tonight and people aren't coming in. So we tried to rethink this, and very often we have free concerts, as many as you do. And we said, you know what could we do that would be interesting? Free still isn't enough to get people inside this concert hall. How can we change the experience and make it too good to pass up? And so we took a free performance, and what we decided to do was to deconstruct it. So we all do programs with multiple works. And so we said, you know what, let's do one short work, 30 minutes at 7 o'clock. We'll do another 30 minute work at 8 o'clock. And rather than be free, because lots of stuff is free, but you know, that doesn't pique the interest, we'll make it $2.50, less than a cup of coffee on Miami Beach. And so what we found is when we did that, people were crazy for them. People, like, when they were walking past, we would have a person out there saying, live concert starting now, just $2.50. And what would happen is they would actually divert. If they were there for dinner or there for shopping, they would come in and say, yeah, it's a half hour concert, a classical, you know, classical music. Even if they weren't familiar with classical music, we had reduced the barriers where it was enough that they were willing to take that, they were willing to take that leap. And $2.50 is kind of like a joke, right? Certainly this isn't a moneymaker, but it was really effective in terms of getting people in the door, which I'll talk about again in a second. The other thing that was really good about mini concerts, because we took the barriers down so low, is it is an amazing sort of product, if you will, for getting groups to the New World Symphony. So what we decided to do was say, all right, let's take one of these performances. We'll take the 7 o'clock performance, and looking in the community and the people who we wanted to attract, and we said, who's really prevalent in the community? Miami Beach is an outdoor community, and there are many, many yoga practitioners. So we said, let's do yoga night at the New World Symphony. 7 o'clock, our mini concert is going to be yoga night at the New World Symphony. And so we worked with a lot of the local instructors to promote this. And what happened was 600 yoga practitioners, people who do yoga in Miami Beach, they bought a ticket for $2.50. They brought their yoga mat into the concert hall and set it between their legs. They really enjoyed, for many, many of them, it was the first experience with classical music. They enjoyed a half-hour concert, and then they went out to the front lawn afterwards for a one-hour yoga class while classical music played on the speakers. And so what we were trying to do was to show people who weren't coming to classical music concerts that A, classical music is not scary, it's not dangerous, but more importantly, that it can have a real role in your life and the things that you love doing. So yoga and classical music and putting them together was really effective for people. What they came away with was a great experience where they said, hey, that was amazing, you know, I'd really like to do something with them again. And hopefully we have sort of now a diversified product line where they can do that. This was very successful. One thing that, so we continue to do it. We've also introduced cycling night at the New World Symphony. So we had a number of musicians who were actually avid bicyclers. They cycle more than 200 miles a week. So to sort of get into their headspace, we said, hey, you know, what is it about classical music that you love and how does that intersect with cycling? And they would say, well, you know what, when I'm on a ride, these are the works that I listen to because of the rotations per minute that I need for cycling and, you know, the beats per minute, that these pieces really work. So we said, yeah, that's really great. So we interviewed them and we talked about that and we created Cycling Night and we sort of put that interview out. And then we created a Spotify playlist to say, if you like cycling, here's classical music works that you can listen to that might work really well for you. And so that's one way that we've been creating new audience with mini concerts. So again, remember that our goal was to, our first goal was to attract new people to the New World Symphony. This graph shows, again, I mentioned 12% of people at our, 12% of the people who come to traditional concerts are coming for the first time. 25% of the people who come to encounters are here experiencing New World Symphony for the first time. Pulse is 41%. 41% of the people who come to Pulse are seeing us and experiencing us for the first time. And in many cases, it's their first experience with classical music. And the mini concerts is even slightly higher, where almost 50% of the people are experiencing the New World Symphony for the first time. We found through this research that our audiences are much younger than they are for a traditional audience. So all the way at your right, only 2% of our audience, of our traditional audience, was less than 45 years old. And you can imagine, as I said before, that when we looked out in the audience, that's not who lives in Miami Beach, per se. But we found that our Wallcast concerts, particularly Pulse and mini concerts, are effective in getting an audience that is younger and more diverse. Miami is a very diverse community, actually becoming more diverse all the time. This was interesting for our traditional concerts. Only 13% of the people reported that they were something other than, they were a race other than white. So this is This is when we ask people that they're filling out, like on a census or something. But for Wallcast, Pulse, and mini concerts, we have much higher percentages of people reporting something other than a race other than non-white, which is, again, much more representative of the Miami community. So the last thing I wanted to just show you here was, we talked about free concerts, right? And the fact that we had sort of deconstructed a free concert and put our mini concerts there. And I think we all do free concerts. And there's probably two real primary reasons why we do free concerts. One is because we understand that not everybody can afford the price of a ticket. And so this gives people the opportunity to experience us and what we have to offer without having to make that commitment. The other thing, though, is that I think we hope by doing free concerts that people will find maybe that they'll go to a free concert and they really love our stuff so much and they can't afford a ticket, that they'll then go ahead and buy one. The graph on the left shows that for this 2012-13 season, we only did 10 of these concerts that I was talking to you about. We did 2 Pulse, we did 4 Encounters, we did 4 mini concerts, so only 10 concerts of our total mix. And we actually had 27 free concerts, 27 that were free for people to come out and experience and then sort of hopefully transition. But our new accounts, those 10 concerts, led to 1,100 new households that had never been in our database before. The 27 free concerts had nearly half of that. So what we found is that these new concerts are much more frequently effective for us in terms of attracting a new audience. And two, something that was really surprising for us is that people will pay for the experience that they want. So if they want a very specific experience, it's not necessarily that they want it for free, but they will pay if that is their preference. And it's not that we don't do free concerts, we'll still do free concerts. The last thing I just wanted to share with you is that the research that we're doing, we did it for 4 years and we said, hey, this is really great. We're kind of understanding our audience better. We think we now know why people are coming to the New World Symphony and to classical music, but we suspected that it wasn't unique to us. People weren't only coming to us in Miami Beach for all these reasons. So we looked at American orchestras that were doing similar programs, one-hour programs with speaking from the stage, with video projections. Some were doing short performance. Some were doing sort of mashups, again, of different styles of music, like our Pulse concerts. And we said, hey, we'd really like to embark on research with you to find out if what's happening with our audiences is happening with your audience as well. And some of these orchestras didn't necessarily have the capacity to do the research, and some just needed sort of a little bit of prodding, and some just said, yeah, you know, we're not doing this, but we'd love to do it. Not that I'm going to go through line by line for this graph, but we work with the Atlanta Symphony, Charlotte, Dallas, Detroit Symphony, Memphis, and all of them to a T found that their, what we do is we research their alternate performance, and then we research a traditional performance. And 2 and 3 and 4 times the amount of people are coming to them for the first time with these alternate performances than are coming through the traditional performances. And again, it's not that we're tearing down the model and doing all of these are going to be all alternate formats. These are 3, 4, 5 weekends out of the year, but they're really having an outsized sort of effect on who's coming to our organization. So I'll leave you with that.